One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Today's episode is sponsored by our good friends at Ghostbed. Go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton and get 20% off site-wide for the final days of their 4th of July sale. Thank you, Ghostbed. Ooh. Just got back from England. We were rocking. I'm on the road. July 10, 11, and 12, I'm going to be in Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto, respectively. That's this coming weekend. Then I go out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, July the 31st. Baltimore, August 1, 2. Then I go to Dallas. I go to Fort Worth. I go to Asheville and Charlotte, North Carolina, Duluth, Georgia. Then I go to Columbia, South Carolina. I go to Fargo. I go to Bakersfield, California. Then I go down to San Diego, California, Rochester, New York, Denver, Batavia, Illinois, Portland, Eugene, Oregon, Bend, Oregon, Huntington, New York, Newton, New Jersey, Bangor, Maine. I'm doing Foxwoods and what is that? Mansahawsatucket, however you say that word. And then I wrap up the year, December the 20th in Boston, Massachusetts, jimnorton.com/tour. It's a brand new hour of material, not the stuff you're seeing in the special.
Jim Norton can't save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can't help you solve your own problems.
Hello to anybody listening or watching. Again, my guest, Nimesh Patel. I always forget to introduce people, so again, I make sure I do it before I forget. So thank you for coming, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
And it's hot in here, so I apologize because the air is too loud. You can hear it in the back. I have to turn it off, so I'm sorry.
No worries,
You've already had to take your shirt off.
Yeah, I feel bad. I'll take another layer off if it gets too hot.
All right, great. Down to the boxers?
Yep.
Down to your skivvies?
Yes, sir. That's what the streets want.
Well, welcome to the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
It's funny, man.
Me.
You and I have never done like a podcast together, and I know you for many years.
We did when you and Sam had the show.
Oh, you were on.
Yeah, I did. Okay. Sam and Jim. Well, Jim and Sam.
Jim and please. That's hurtful.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sam. Sorry, Jim. Whatever the show that you guys had a long time ago, but thank you for having me back.
It's weird not having that in the morning. Like that was my morning routine every day for 20 years, and then all of a sudden it's not the way it is anymore.
But what do you do now? Just wake up happy?
Partially, yeah. But believe it or not, I go to the gym as fat as I look. I do go 4 days a week. It gives you something to do.
Yeah.
So you're getting up and you're leaving the house. You don't feel like a worthless piece of shit.
What's your routine?
I get up at like 9:30, 9:40.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like 6 o'clock.
No. I used to get up at 6:45.
Uh-huh.
Get up 9:30, go to the gym, 11:30 to 12:30,
uh-huh.
and I come back. You know, it's great. It's just, but again, I just can't stop fucking eating.
Yeah, that's half of it. I see a bunch of Coca-Cola bottles everywhere. I just want to say, keep at the gym.
Those are my wife's. I don't drink it. She's the worst. You're not married. You got a girl?
I got a wife, yeah.
Oh, you are married. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, no worries.
So you know the nightmare I deal with. She buys whatever the fuck she wants. She does nothing. Her whole job is to like eat what she wants and clean up when the dog shits, because I won't do it. I told her, it's your dog. I'm not touching dog shit.
Uh-huh.
So she buys food that I can't eat, but I eat it.
You know, I every time I open up the pantry, I'm like, why did you buy these chocolate covered pretzels? They're so delicious.
Yeah.
But like, if they were not in the house, I would not eat them.
But you're not fat though, so it doesn't matter. You can eat what you want.
I'm dying of heart disease for sure though. I got that skinny fat Indian gene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my grandpa had a quadruple bypass when he was like 65 or 66 years old, and maybe a little older than that, but he vegetarian his whole life, but Indian food like is terrible for you.
I see. I would have thought Indian food was like really healthy, because again, it's mostly vegan or vegetarian.
Yeah, but it's all cooked in terrible oils, and you eat a lot of it, and like there's bread with everything because you would need, still need to feel full.
Sure.
And I feel like my generation of Indian people will start to eat healthier Indian food, but
the older generation is fucked.
We're fucking great. We're doing great. It's just literally just gobs of oil.
I've seen a lot of videos of Indian street food, like where guys will eat it. And again, if you're not used to it, it can get you sick because of whatever's in the food. But it looks delicious. I don't think I'd fuck with it, but it looks delicious.
Yeah, I think in India, it's different. It's a little different in India, A, because there's no regulations, so you can just eat whatever the fuck you want. But the distance between the farm and the vendor is usually a lot shorter. So the food's a lot fresher, and there's not as many preservatives. And also, again, regulations are, who gives a shit about regulations?
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah, it's got glass in it. Brush it out.
But like, it's when the American companies go there and when the Indians come here, when the American stuff gets into the diet, it's all super fucked. Like, you'll see obese Indian people now, and it just breaks my heart.
Have you been?
I went once. I went in 2013.
It's never about Biden or Trump. It's we like attacking each other,
yeah,
and we just use them as great sounding boards for the attack.
Yeah, it's like those two identities have become people's identities.
Yeah,
over the last, since Obama left office, it's become like you're either a libtard or a conservative racist piece of shit. Like there's no middle ground.
Yeah, you're a file or a Nazi.
Yeah.
You know? And those are just my friends.
Exactly. And it's become which one am I?
Yeah. Why not be both, for Pete's sake? That's my point.
And it becomes like this such a divisive thing when like plane crash happened yesterday. Like it's immediately politicized. It's immediately like the liberals did this or the conservatives did that. It's like, no, like we're all flying.
Yeah.
Let's fix it from that perspective. Like I'm not thinking like which Republican voted for this plane to not, or which Republican is flying this plane or whatever. I'm like, I hope we make it there on time. Like, I hope all the regulations are in place to make this shit happen.
They immediately came out and they blamed Trump. Three reporters had to delete their tweets because immediately they're like, Trump. And it turns out that he didn't actually fire anybody from air traffic control. Uh-huh. And then Trump immediately blames DEI. Everybody's blaming everybody but the fucking pilot of the helicopter, who it looks like it was his fault.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane to politicize something so quickly. I'm sure some political stuff was involved. I mean, the FAA has been underfunded for a decade now through many administrations. But like to be like black people being in positions of work is what caused this plane to get hit by a helicopter. Like, bro, give it a fucking beat. These people are not even out of the water yet.
I wonder if it's my first thought, and I'm not going to put, by the time this is out, people will know that my first thought was that it was pilot suicide. That was my first thought. Uh-huh. Because again, it's a pretty clear night. You can see it. He flies right in, unless he just didn't see it. I mean, but that's the first thought I have. But again, I tend to, as a person who's been depressed, everything goes there for me, no matter what happens.
My first thought was the last time Trump took office, one of the last times Trump was in office and a helicopter crash happened in January. That was when Kobe died.
That's right.
2 months later, the entire world shut down. So this feels like the beginning of another world shutting down.
The precursor to another.
Yeah. Bird flu's happening right now.
It is.
Bird flu's happening right now. And it's just like, let's.
And we have, if you want, we can turn off Instagram now. We can go to the phones. And it doesn't have to be advice. It could literally just be a hello or whatever you want. But we like, I'm not qualified to give advice, really. Other than as a friend. Like, you know, people say, you're not qualified. As friends, give each other advice. In that way, we're both qualified.
Yeah, I'll give you advice in the sense, don't take it.
Yeah, exactly. Do the opposite.
This is what I might do in this situation, or I'll just give you the side that you're not thinking about. It's your decision to act upon what I say.
You have a great radio voice.
Thank you very much. If you're listening out there, radio casters, please hire me. I'd love to do some radio.
Do you do a podcast?
I have a podcast. It's called Gucci Turban. It's my friend Asif and I. We just... isn't it weird that like all these podcasts that are super popular have gone like right wing?
Yeah.
Like Schultz, Tim, Rogan, everybody's gone this kind of like right wing path. And like I respect these guys as comics and all that, but I'm like, bro, like, so my Gucci Turban, we started it during pandemic. It was just like a way to interview Indian comedians and Indian people doing stuff. But now we're talking, now I feel like I'm slightly on par with some of the people we were interviewing. So it feels like now I can just talk my own shit. And Asif, my friend, is not a comic at all. And we just bullshit all the time about more like taking it to the right wings. But
I don't even know if Rogan and because Joe is a Bernie guy. Like, I don't even know if those guys have gone right wing.
He endorsed Trump.
Or if they've stayed. And the left has turned, like the whole, what happens, sometimes you stay in one position and then the whole clock turns. So it looks like you've gone more radical. Like, example is the fact that conservatives are the free speech people. It's crazy that they've hijacked that from progressive, but yeah. Progressives have handed them the free speech banner.
Yeah.
And that was always a progressive rally cry, was free speech, free expression, unpopular expression.
Uh-huh.
And they're the ones who are trying to get you in trouble for it. It's the whole, I think everything has just switched a little bit.
You're a bit older than me, I say that respectfully.
Sure, no, I am.
In the sense that you've probably seen this cycle play out already.
Yes.
Where conservatives go progressive and progressives go conservative, and everyone looks in the mirror and they're doing that Spider-Man thing at some point. Like, oh shit, you're just an inverse of me.
Yeah, it's never been this bad, though. But again, it'll work itself out. I don't panic anymore about it. Uh-huh. I thought I've been telling people since Tough Crowd, they're like, it's going to swing back. I'm like, no, it ain't.
Uh-huh.
And it has a little bit. Who's on the phone? Who we have on the telephone?
Namesh and Jim. Happy birthday, Yimmy.
Thank you, fella.
Namesh, just because you're a handsome fella, I got to ask you this. How do you lose, do you have any advice on how to lose fucking fat in the face?
What do you ask?
How do you lose fat in the face? Like, you have a fat face, sir? Was your face ever heavy? He said you're a handsome guy.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. I got no actual advice about how to lose fat in the face, except be born with the Indian genes that don't process fat correctly.
Better genes, sir. Your genes are fucked up. Yeah. Yell at your mother's vagina.
But like the. But the idea.
What if I just consume an ass load of Indian food with all the spices and just sweat out the fat out of my face?
Yeah, I mean, no, but you'll build up heart disease and heartburn and all that kind of stuff. There's no way to target your face unless you.
No. God knows I've tried.
Yeah. it's just an overall general fat loss policy. But I did find, and I don't know if this was like a placebo or not, but there's like this, I got Instagram targeted ad for like jaw strengthening gum.
Make your muscles better.
If you chew, like, it's like really hard gum, which like logically tracks to me. Like if you just chew a lot and like stress that muscle because you don't otherwise. That it might help build these muscles over time. I did it for a month. I was like, this hurts, but I could see it. I could see that working over a long period of time.
How'd the gum taste?
Great.
It was good.
Yeah, it was great. It was great gum. It lasted forever, but it was difficult to chew. And I was like, okay. And they say on the back, don't chew more than 2 pieces a day. I guess like it is overexerting, so maybe that helps. But otherwise, you know, go back in time, tell your mom to fuck someone else.
What is mewing? What is mewing? It says, does mewing, is that for what, facial muscle? Because I have, you might not have ever noticed, but I have a bit of a doughy face, a structureless, like a fucking a celery stalk.
Some would say thumb-like.
A lot of people would say that, or toe, I prefer toe. But yeah, I have like a structureless face. So yeah, I would love to have, I can't get a chin now though. It'd be too weird if I got like fucking jaw surgery and all of a sudden I was just good looking. It just wouldn't work for me.
Nah, I think you pull off the Matt Rife, man.
Matt Rife, dude, it's amazing. Like, if I looked like that, I would never tell jokes. I would just fucking, I would just hang out with girls. Fucking, what a lucky way to be.
Yeah, man.
I almost feel bad for him though, because everyone obsesses on his looks. Like, he's just kind of like, he's the reference point. Like when you hear Matt Rife, like, oh, handsome. Like we all think the same thing
because
he's always got hot girls around him. So, but I would like a week in Matt Rife's life. He could have a month in mine for a week in his.
I hope we helped, Connor.
Yeah, oh yeah, Connor. I forgot. Thought you were dead. God bless. Thanks for calling. Yeah, these are all stupid. Rest your tongue. Close your lips. Keep your teeth together. No. And if anybody else, we have another caller. All right. Good evening. You're on with Namesh and Jim. How are you?
Sad Zach.
Zach, welcome to the show. Are you on a headset?
Did he say sad Zach?
Yeah. Are you sad Zach?
I'm fat.
Oh, fat
no,
Zach.
I am sad often, but I'm fat Zach.
Yeah. Okay, you're fat Zach. Well, you should be sad Zach if you're fat Zach.
Yeah.
Welcome, fat Zach. Thanks for calling. I'm AIDS-y Jim and handsome Namesh.
Yo, about losing the weight in the face, guys. You know, if you cut out salt and carbohydrates, that'll slim your face out real good for that.
Yeah, your face does tend to retain water better than a lot of other parts of your body. So that's a temporary way to slim your face out.
Yeah, yeah, just eat better. That really is, even my fucking wife is going, Ozempic. And I'm like, I know I put weight on, but it's like, it's like I want to act out sexually. I want to do all this. I can't. Uh-huh. So I that's the addiction I go to is food.
Got it.
Do you have any? Like, you seem like a stable guy. You do, though. Like you have a great career. You're very funny. You're a really good comic.
Thank you.
You have a healthy. I've never seen you.
Thank you, Jim.
You're very welcome. I was talking to Nimesh, but I'm sure you are also. You're healthy.
Fat Zach. Yeah,
exactly. You're
put
healthy.
Put down the crackers. Stop trying to earn the name fat.
You're healthy for a sea lion, Zach.
One time I did all eggnog for 30 days.
And you, how are you calling? Go to the hospital.
What? No, dude. I lost 20 pounds doing that, bro. It's a 2,000 calorie a day liquid diet.
Oh, that was all you had?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
2,000 calories a day is...
It's... yeah, okay. But, I mean, the answer is just... You gave yourself the answer, Fat Zach, is just do a calorie-restricted diet.
Yeah.
Did he even ask a question?
He was basically wondering how to lose a little bit of weight. Oh. I guess we assume, you know what? This is how fucked up we are. This is what body shamers we are. Fat Zach might have been asking about something else, and we're like, hey, get on the fucking treadmill, Zach. Maybe that's not what he was asking.
Yeah, Fat Zach.
No, I didn't ask nothing. I was just saying about the dude talking about losing weight in his face.
About Connor.
Well, maybe it's PHAT.
You know, I didn't really have one. I got a notification on Instagram that said, call Jim.
Okay.
So I was like, no fucking way. And then now I am calling Jim. And I don't know. I guess, you know, if I had to ask for advice on something, I'm on the Facebook dating. That's the only dating site I got any success on. And it's all I get on there is when they're 35, they got 3 kids, they're tired of the games. You know, should I just try to make the most of that?
What I know about Facebook is that it knows you better than you know yourself.
Yeah.
And so what Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg are telling you, Fat Zach, is that this is who is right for you. You need to take care of some woman and her children. That's what you need to do.
That's what you need to do, yeah. They wouldn't steer you wrong. Why would they? They do know everything about you.
Yeah.
You think I need to? You guys saying I need to be the dad who steps up?
Yeah,
you do. Yes, you do. Take care of somebody else's load.
Kids love eggnog.
They do.
You already got the right father.
My loads taste like eggnog. Yeah. I've heard.
All right. Well, God bless. And on that note, thank you, Fat Zach. Yeah. Good luck to you. I didn't know there was a Facebook dating thing.
Yeah. That makes sense.
How did you meet your wife?
Stand-up. She was a server at a club and put a lot of work in. It's very cliche, but yeah, that was it.
Before her, did you do the dating apps?
I did Tinder, and then what was it? OkCupid for a bit.
Oh wow, that's old school.
That was old, and then I would just try to hit on women at bars.
Yeah, I never had good in-person game unless they'd see me on stage. Then there's a personality thing. I'm a personality fuck.
Yeah.
It's never a physical.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? The physical they tolerate because they like me as a person.
Uh-huh.
they're like, yeah, he's kind of funny. I'll blow him in the car.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But the dating apps, I did Bumble. I did Tinder. I did terrible on them.
Uh-huh. I think I had moderate success on most of the apps. The most success I had was just being on stage and then being able to hit on someone like that saw me at the show.
Servers are hard, though, because they see all the comics, and you're coming in after all these fucking creepy comics are probably making comments. So servers get very jaded. How did you win her over?
I was there doing check spots like all the time, and I just put the work in.
Okay.
And that was really it. I think I kind of... like, I was the river and she was the Grand Canyon. I kind of just slowly eroded her over time. You know? And wore down her defenses. And now she's the mother of my child. So
How old is your child?
3 months.
Oh, congratulations,
Thank
man.
You
I didn't know
much,
you had
man.
A new baby. I didn't realize that. Boy or girl?
Girl. I had to get out of the house. That's why I wanted to do the podcast. I was like, let me get the
fuck out of the time this is out, she's now a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
We have a delay. But, wow. So... How does it feel being? Because I'll never be a dad, but I'm fascinated with people that want to do that. It seems like such a terrifying fucking thing.
It is, you know, I'm talking about it a lot on stage, but.
Let's face it, guys. Some mornings you wake up full of regret. Like if you turn over and you see me laying there, that would be one of those times. Now, it could be a brutal hangover, a questionable DM, or oversharing at an open mic night. Night of good sleep is the first step to feeling human again. This is where our friends at Ghostbed can help. Every mattress in the Ghostbed collection is designed to help you sleep cooler, stay comfortable, and actually wake up feeling a lot less terrible. Sleeping cooler, by the way, nothing sucks more than being hot and clammy when you sleep. I'm obsessed with a nice, cool mattress, and I love these guys. Their top-selling Ghostbed Luxe mattress is the one to check out. It's made with advanced cooling materials and it's patented tech that pulls heat away from your body while you sleep. If you're like me, this is kind of a desperate necessity. Ghostbed mattresses are not just about comfort, they're made to last. Every mattress includes our exclusive Pro Core layer designed to give you extra reinforcement through your hips and your back. That means better alignment, fewer aches, and a mattress that doesn't sag after a year, despite how unpleasantly heavy I've been getting. The team behind Ghostbed, they have more than 20 years of experience. They make high-quality mattresses, and it really shows. But here's what I care about. More than anything, more than where it's made, I don't care about any of that. 60,000 five-star reviews. That's what I care about. I almost said that's the proof in the pudding, but I realized I'd have to knock my own teeth out with the microphone if I said that, and Ghostbed would drop me. It wasn't offensive. We just hate Jim now. You can also get a 101-night sleep trial and fast and free shipping, 20 to 25-year guarantee. It's amazing. A nice, cool bed, Ghostbed Luxe mattress. That's the one to check out, because if you're like me, you run hot when you sleep, and it sucks. This is a nice, cool, comfortable mattress. Here's the move, you silly geese. Go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton, and then for site-wide, you get up to 20% off for the last few days of their 4th of July sale. So just go now. What are you waiting for? It's the summer. This would be stupid if I was doing it in January, but I'm doing it in July. It's hot. You know you're hot. If you're a fan of mine, you're probably in terrible shape, and you sweat a lot. Get yourself a nice, cool mattress. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Sleep cooler, sleep better, even if last night got a little out of hand. Ooh, Ghostbed.
What's odd to me, and which I find funny in hindsight, is that, like, I always felt I wanted to have a kid, but I never really articulated the why of it.
Right.
And, like, I think most dads, at least in my position, that are, like, you know, slightly older, in the 30s, late 30s, who are, like, have kind of planned to have a kid, they don't really articulate why. They're just like, I think it's just something to do. And just,
yeah.
Like, I'm just kind of like, what am I going to just party till 5 o'clock in the morning every day? And that was really the part of the impetus. And so, like, once she was here, I'm like, God damn, like, I probably should have thought this through a little more.
what reason was there to do this? Yeah.
But, like, it's the first 2 months are insane. And I'm fortunate enough to have a lot of help. But now that she's, like, a little more stable and predictable, like, things are great. She's beautiful.
Does it change you? Like, when you first see the baby, does it do to you what they say it does? Or what was your experience with that?
I immediately felt the sense that, A, I need to make a lot more money.
Right.
And that this is the person I have to protect forever.
It is, right?
Like there's no, like, what we, so the first month that we had, that when she was born, that back when she came home, we had a night nurse, like a full-time nanny, basically. Oh, nice. That, like, stayed with us 24 hours. Even, like, when she was on the clock, like, if baby was crying, I'm running there. She's like, you know, I'm here. I'm like, nah, but I'm also here.
Yeah, so you like doing it.
Like is a
terrible phrase.
Yeah, it's not the right. It's like I have an instinct, paternal instinct. Like, I need to know what's going on. I need to protect this thing.
It's an animal thing, right?
Yeah. Now that I'm a bit more confident that she's okay. Like, if she's crying, it's because, you know, she's hungry or something, as opposed to the world is ending. I'm a bit more comfortable, like, having, you know, the nanny or somebody take care of her and, like, calm her down, all that kind of stuff. But the first 2 months, I'm just like, what's happening?
I can't imagine the panic. Like, we got a small dog. My wife wanted a dog. Uh-huh. And I just, the panic, even when the dog is sluggish, I'm like, wait, call the vet. Like, I can't imagine what it's like with a kid. Like, yeah. I know this is nothing compared to having a kid. And this is so scary and so much responsibility, and it just shits on the rug. And I'm like, I can't imagine if this was a baby.
Yeah, I mean, she shits on the rug too. but you can't yell at
that's
her.
Right. My wife and I do too. The dog gets it from us. I understand that. We just think it's fun and fetish-ish. Who's on the phone?
Jim, you're actually the first comedian I got into back in the day. You know, I seen you live at the TLA in Philly. I'm from Philly. So you're the reason I got into comedy.
Interested. Thank
so,
you. That was
been following you around for a long time, dude.
Thank you, buddy. That was 2001. I remember Jay Oakerson went up in front of me. That was Theater of the Living Arts. I did five shows there. Whoa. In it's a small theater. It's like 500, 600 seats. But I mean, that was when Opie and Anthony were fucking.
Yeah.
I was on. We just got on in Philly, and I put on TLA dates. So thank you for coming to us. Dice shot his second special there. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was called, but it was kind of what.
I was also at the. I met you at WYSP at the 94 WYSP studio. I actually licked that fat dude's armpit for stage tickets to the Virus tour in Camden.
Wow, the fat guy. Was it Big A or Pat from Munaki?
It was Fat Zach.
Tony or something, A?
What was his name? Big A, yeah. That's
he was a big fat
licked
dude.
An armpit?
Yeah, he was a big dude.
Yeah.
What the fuck, bro?
Yeah, it's a long story, dude. I could go.
No, the short story is you didn't have any money.
Dude, you don't need a long story with that. That's the end of the story.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, my God, bro.
Thank you for the call, man.
I was almost at the time. I didn't have much going.
I appreciate your call. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for listening. I licked an armpit is always the end of a story.
Yeah, it's the beginning of a story of Jesus Christ, you licked an armpit. All right, sorry, go ahead.
If that's the beginning, it's only going to get boring. I licked an armpit for your tickets. What happened? No, we couldn't find parking, and then we finally got it. I don't give a shit. Licked the armpit is the fucking star of that story.
Licked an armpit for tickets.
You have, like, you know, in all the years I've done radio, you get used to people being crazy. You've in the last few years, like, I know you do really well on TikTok and, like, mm-hmm. social media, and you have a big fan base. People come and see you.
Yeah.
How does it feel, and how good are you enjoying it? How much are you enjoying it, for lack of a
term? I think I would enjoy my fans more if they licked more armpits to come see me.
Isn't
but,
that a nice honor?
It's so cool.
I licked the armpit of a fat man to see you. You know what? Wow. That's a fan.
Wow. Thank you. I don't know if I would shake that guy's hand, but... It's been a very humbling thing to see people, like, because it's like TikTok is such a distributor of attention deficit disorder.
Sure.
That it gets to, like, everybody. And, like, when I started hitting the road, I had no real expectation. And I started back in, I've been doing stand-up for 15 years.
Yes.
But I really started going hard on the road in April 2021 when TikTok kind of took off for me.
Sure.
And I had no expectation of who was going to come out to see me. I always thought my comedy was pretty strong enough to hit, like, every demo. And
yeah.
Would hit, if you liked to laugh, that it would work for you. Or if you had, like, a slightly, if you had my POV on some things, or you were willing to accept the POV on some things, you would like my comedy. So I would have, like, 20-year-old Indian kids and, like, 80-year-old women come to the shows.
Yeah.
And that was always mind-blowing to me. I was like, yo, how the hell did you hear about the show? TikTok, we fucking love you. And that's insane that you came to see me. And luckily for me, that hasn't gone away in the sense of, like, I'm still very grateful that people come out. And
yes.
I'm still very surprised by who comes out. You know, I've made one of my favorite fans is this woman named Kiki. That's not her real name, but that's the only name she's given me. She's like probably like a 65-year-old Indian woman who came out June 2021 when I did Stress Factory in New Brunswick for the first time. She came to see me. She had found me on TikTok. She was there with, like, some hot lady who was, like, 30 years her junior, like a niece or something. And she's like, I've seen you and let's take a picture. And she, like, interrupted the show, wanted to take a picture. So we took a picture at the end of the, she was like, never been to a comedy show
right
before.
right.
And that's also very insane to me. Like, I'm a lot of people's first comedian.
Yes. I'm usually their last.
you lick one armpit and you see Jim Norton, that's enough. And then, like, a few months later, I come to find out she, like, fell down the stairs and, like, lost her memory, and my show was one of the last things that she remembered. A few months, like, a year and a half later, she comes to see a show. She's, like, interrupting. They tell me that story that, oh, she fell down the stairs. You're the last, one of the last things she remembers seeing, so she wanted to recreate that moment for her aunt or whoever. I was like, that's insane. We take another picture. She came to see me again this year, last year in December of 2024, brought, like, 5-6 other people her age, and like they're like all fans of mine now. When I did the shows in Morristown, this guy comes up to me afterwards, and this is where like I'm telling you the story just to be like I'm still a comic.
Yeah,
I'm still like an asshole because this guy comes up to me after all the shows, and he's like, "Can I talk to you for a second?" I'm like, "Yeah, for sure." He's like, "I just want I saw that clip that you put up with this woman." And I was like, "Kiki?" She's like, "Yeah." Like, he starts welling up. And he's like, "You know, that really meant a lot for me. That was my mom." And in my head, I'm like, half of me is like, "Man, what a cool story." The other half is like, "Gay." like, thank you for being a fan. But gay, dude, I don't need emotions.
Yeah,
bro.
What are
Get
you
the
doing?
Fuck away from me.
What are you doing? She showed up with four of the people from the brain trauma unit. They all fucking, they were eating napkins.
Shout out to Kiki and her family, man. Like, they were
do the same act every time. She's like, "Oh my god, this guy writes constantly." She doesn't remember. That's my dream fan.
So all that to say, I'm very grateful for all the people that come out to see me. It blows my mind every time, and I remember a lot of them. Oddly enough, like I do a free meet and greet after every show.
You do,
because it's like they've never met a celebrity, a lot of them, quote unquote, but also like that's how you show appreciation. It's like, look, yeah, this doesn't mean much to me, like I don't care to take pictures, like, but I would never want to take a picture with anybody, but for you who want to take a picture of me, that means a lot. If that means a lot to you, then it should mean a lot to me, and it does, and I'm very grateful that people come out.
Do you not take pictures with people? Like, meaning if you meet someone that you like, you wouldn't want to take a picture with them? Have you ever?
I definitely have, but it's not something I'm like, I gotta get a picture with that person. It's more just like, like, they've got to be insane.
Who did it for you? Like, when you met them, who was like, "Oh, fuck"?
I mean, when I worked at SNL, I met a lot of people, but I was not like, "Can we take a picture?" I always felt like a little uncouth to be at the show and do that.
Are you allowed to do it there? Probably not. Unless
I don't know. No, it's probably an unspoken rule that you're not supposed to.
Sure.
But again, like there was, I mean, I met Charles Barkley. I was like, it's Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, there's a very few people where I'm like, mind is blown. Like,
sure,
if I'm at Jordan right now, I'd have to take a picture. But
yeah,
beyond that, like, I'm not sure who would make me want to take a picture with them. When I met Mos Def, like, 15 years ago, when I met Robin Williams, like, 10, 15 years ago, those are people I wanted to take a picture with.
Yeah.
When I worked with Chris Rock on the Oscars, like, we got to take a picture.
Of course, yeah.
But, like, beyond that, I'm not like, oh my god, a celebrity, I gotta do that, you know?
Did you get pictures with Robin?
With Robin Williams?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, it was crazy, because he did the show, and he fucking rocked it, and he was so nice to everybody. He was so nice to everybody. He took a picture outside of me and Joelle Nicole Johnson outside. It was insane.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say Robin was a dick. Everyone liked him.
Yeah.
He used to come into the cellar, and he would just kind of sit back there with the comics. Mm-hmm. And he was very humble. Like, you know, he knows who he is. Like, you know what I mean? He was always very, he was kind of like, he wasn't acting like a celebrity. He was just kind of talking to all the comics. And just, I think he liked just that kind of that energy where he could just talk to people and have an actual conversation.
When I met Russell Peters, I had to take a picture.
Russell, yeah.
Like, because he's the first Indian comic that we ever saw.
Sure.
Like, I still remember his YouTube video. Like, the one that made him famous in 2004. That might have been one of the first YouTube clips I ever seen.
Was Russell Peters
that his first special that got leaked and changed his entire life.
I love Russell Peters. He's one of those guys who like will bring you a gift. He's a very generous guy. And I met him through a mutual friend, Yoshi, who knows everyone. You know Yoshi?
I met that guy.
Yoshi Obayashi. A funny comic he used to work for. He used to get porn to everybody. He's the best. Hi, Jim. I was talking to this. He said hi. He's like, he's crazy.
Uh-huh.
But he brought Russell. And Russell brought me. He found that I was a Kiss fan. And this is back when I think we were shooting those HBO half hours. But he just kind of came and he brought a Kiss book. It was just something very generous and nice. And he's just a very nice person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I don't know, there's really no story there. I just like him a lot. Like, he's a genuinely nice guy.
He was one of the first, I got to take a picture because, like, my entire family knew him. And
yeah, He sells out everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah, and he would give my family, like whenever I text him, like, yo, can my family come to your shows? He'll give us tickets or give my family tickets and stuff. So it's insane.
I went and saw him at the Garden with a friend. I never go to shows, but he's like, I think he had done a radio show that day. And he's like, do you want to? I'm like, yeah. Like, I have a friend who's doing, I never do stuff like that.
To do the arena, yeah.
I never go. And I went, and then afterwards went back and said hello, and he introduced me to Melly Mel and a couple old school fucking, like, because he knows all those rappers.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm staying in touch with Russell. I want him to hook me up with fucking, you know, I want DMC on my fucking show, so yeah. I'm going to use him. You suck. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Sorry, that's my impression of me talking to my dick. It happens a lot. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and it makes me very angry. Guys, enter the room dick first. Blue Chew is not just a tablet. It's a cheat code for your stupid lollygagging crotch. Stronger, harder, longer lasting. Like someone give your downstairs a pep talk and a gym membership. Blue Chew is the original brand offering chewable tablets for better sex. I love a Blue Chew, especially since I've gotten older. Sometimes it's just the confidence it gives me knowing I have this little blue tablet that I can pop in my mouth. Blue Chew's tablets, they have really helped my penis perform better. And by better, I mean just not flop on my lap again. You know how humiliating? We've all been through it. Just sitting there, I don't know what's from, I don't know. There's no reason for it. You're just embarrassed. You take one of those little Blue Chew tablets, a little blue grid on your teeth, wipe it off, you swallow. You wait a little while. It may take a little longer for you. Sometimes it takes a little longer for me. The next thing you know, you feel your penis kind of moseying up to the front of your zipper, and you're like, I'm ready. And then you immediately leave the movie theater, and you take her home because you're panicking like I do. Last time I took a Blue Chew, my dick got sponsored by an energy drink company. Who wrote these? I like where they're going with it. This is what they write. At least they're saying words like dick. I'll say this for Blue Chew. They definitely know what the way men think. They're not using, last time I took a Blue Chew, my wee-wah made a hippie hop. You know, last time I took a Blue Chew, my dick got sponsored by an energy drink company and refused to do missionary, saying it was bad for the brand, extreme positions only. I don't like doing missionary, if you want. I like to take a Blue Chew and get behind her. Why? To spare her the sight of my arrogant face. Because when I take a Blue Chew tablet, you know what it does for me? It makes me feel cocky, and it makes me feel sure of myself, and it's not sexy. Because then I do this with my glasses. I'm like, you ready for a good time? Foot. And I do that, and no one thinks that's attractive. So I flip her over on her tum-tum, and I like to go from behind. I carry my Encyclopedia Britannica everywhere. I'll tell you one thing Blue Chew tablets don't do. Strengthen your joke writing arm. Sometimes I take a Blue Chew to make standing in line easier. Something to lean on. Who's going to lean on my penis? Very short woman. This is not a supplement, by the way. It is an erection resurrection. Despite all the horrible puns and jokes, guys, this is not just about performance. It's about the legacy or third legacy. You know that when you lay it down, they're talking about how it gets up. Nothing makes you more of a legend than a little Blue Chew. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. We've got a special deal for my listeners. As always, you get your first month of Blue Chew free. Just use the promo code Norton at checkout and pay $5 for shipping. If you can't do that, I don't know what to tell you. That's it. You join Blue Chew's mission to upgrade humanity one thrust at a time. Head to Blue Chew, BlueChew.com for details and safety info. And a big thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. It is easy to do a personal endorsement because I really do use it and it really does work for me. It's helped my penis a lot. And you know what? Sometimes my wife has to look at my cocky face with the glasses down. That's just the price you pay, babe. Who's on the phone?
Hey, how you guys doing? Happy birthday, Jim.
Thank you,
fella.
That's
your birthday, Jim?
No, that's just a thing people would do on the radio to annoy everybody, and it still makes me happy.
All right.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Ratty Matty.
Ratty Matty. Welcome, Ratty Matty.
He's giving themselves nicknames.
I kind of like it. Yeah, it makes it feel like this is the place to be. You're on.
I mean,
with...
I didn't give it to myself. You can't give yourself a nickname. That's kind of.
I think Fat Zach would beg to differ.
Yeah,
but
Fat Zach.
Go ahead.
No, you know who gave Fat Zach his name? Someone whose foot was broken when he stepped on it.
His physician.
Yeah, doctor now. Yeah. Oh, it looks to me like you're eating very bad. I love that guy. Yes, what's up, buddy? Question, comment?
Yeah, I want to say congratulations to the new dad. I didn't catch your name. You know,
Nimesh.
I'm just like everybody else, saw the IG live, called in.
Nimesh.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I have a 10-month-old baby girl, and, you know, kind of to circle back to the political thing, like, I'm a 37, about to be 38-year-old white male, you know, I'm
pretty attaboy!
Congrats.
Of, like, economic.
It's the year of the white. The year of the white's off to a great
That's
start.
Right.
Yeah. And so just kind of, you know, what's there to really expect with having a baby girl? I have a baby girl too. And, like, is this something we really need to be concerned with him in power? Or is this just going to be a little weird and we'll get through it and it'll be fine? You know, like, what's the panic level?
I mean, I've never thought more about buying a gun than I have in the last few months. But, you know, I was talking to one of my friends who's a very progressive guy, and he framed it pretty well. He's like, listen, anyone who's progressive is just going to have to build a wall of money around themselves and hope that whatever problems that these next administrations bring can't topple those walls, which is a very snotty culture, like coastal elitist bullshit, but
yes,
nonetheless true.
It's one of those things where we do, people like to panic. And I think we're used to panicking,
mm-hmm.
and we're extremists. And it just seems like every 4 years we're going to go. And then after Trump, it'll probably be somebody very progressive. And then after
AOC.
Them, we'll hate them. And then, mm-hmm. oh, not her. Then after her, the progressive, it'll be somebody conservative. It's mm-hmm. almost like everybody's just kind of running around. So, sir, no, I don't think anything bad's going to, even though you're not asking me,
uh-huh.
you have a 10-month-old. So what do you think between now and when she's five?
Uh-huh.
Nothing bad's going to happen. You're going to be fine. She's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, unless she's looking like she's trying to make some gender affirmation decisions just now or then. But other than that,
well, at five, she probably shouldn't be.
Yeah,
let's be honest. I mean, I'm a big fan of the gender affirmation decisions, but at age five, it's probably a bit premature.
Yeah.
Hey, could you? You know, kids don't know. It sounds weird, right? But it's like when you're that young, you don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I was a fucking maniac when I was a kid. I mean, I was a Satan worshiper. You know, I was 80 shit. I was a fucking loon. I didn't know who I was.
Right. Well, my sister's an attorney, and she is like...
What kind of attorney? Criminal or civil? Sorry.
She works in corporate law. So I guess civil.
Civil, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Or criminal. Could be criminal. Oh, no. I'm thinking...
She's in-house counsel at a bank.
Oh, nice.
So she's doing great. But she is like... She is a bit concerned, and she's like, we have to put an action plan into place just in case women's rights get eroded even more and we have to leave. But I'm like, my baby's 3 months old. I'm a moderately successful guy. Hopefully I can prevent those things from impacting her. But, you know, I'm going to get a gun for sure.
It's funny. I've thought of I can't have a gun because I'm too self-destructive. I just know I get hungry. I put fucking toothpaste on it. No, I don't trust myself at all.
It's like such a good scene in like a Psycho movie. Like opening scene, a guy just brushing his teeth with a gun would be so fucking sick, dude.
Yeah, brushing my hair with. I just know I'm too self-destructive. To handle a gun. So that's why I don't have one. Although I did go shooting recently, which I've talked about. I was in Austin, and a friend of mine took us shooting on a range, like an indoor range.
Uh-huh.
It was fun. It was...
First time?
Uh-huh. And it was interesting. The gun is heavier than you think it's going to be. It's harder to aim than you think.
Yep.
You understand why so many bystanders get killed, like in whatever who's shooting itself. It's very hard to aim a fucking gun and shoot. I can't imagine doing it under duress.
Yeah.
Like being threatened and pointy a gun.
Or like full of hate and having to do it.
Yeah. That I can't imagine because they have the ones that those guys usually use is with a laser thing on them, the automatics. And we shot one of those.
Yeah.
And I hit a target way down at the end of the range, but that's because you have a. There's a little red dot, and it just helps you line everything up, so your aim improves drastically with that. So that I can understand being accurate.
You did the whole thing.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah.
I shot a gun once. I shot it in Hawaii. My wife and I were on vacation, and they barked us up. You want to shoot a gun? I'm like, yeah, sure. That sounds fun. They just that big street sign, like all the guns, all the prices. I'm like, I just want to shoot the littlest gun just to experience shooting a gun. I shot a 22, and I'll never forget it. The Asian lady behind the counter, like, taking my money, was like, you want to shoot a 22? I was like, yeah. She's like, why don't you shoot this bigger gun, you little bitch? I was like, Jesus Christ. She's just trying to upsell me on the cost.
Of course.
She's like, the question, like, you're not a man.
It is a fair question. What are you doing with a 22? You want a rock to throw at him too?
It's like, oh my goodness, lady. But
did you like it?
It was cool.
It was, right?
It was fucking cool to shoot a gun. But I could see why it's addictive, and I could also see why it's terrifying.
It scares me, yeah.
Like, when I it wasn't the first time I had held a gun, but I, my friend and I, we drove across country in, like, 2011, and one of the stops was in Pittsburgh at our friend's place, and he had, like, mad guns, and he had a pistol, but it was, like, a heavy duty, not a 44, maybe, like, a 38 or something, unloaded and all that, and I picked it up, and it was so much work to not just, like, point it at myself.
Yes. Isn't it crazy the thoughts you get?
Just, like, he's like,
just pull a trigger, see what happens.
He's like, it's unloaded, don't worry. I'm like, and, like, you look at it and, like, oh my god, what am I doing? Just, like, fuck, terrifying.
You don't realize how crazy, or the potential for crazy you are, until you hold a gun for the first time, and you're like, the thoughts that you have are fucking, I didn't want to hurt anybody else.
No.
But the idea of having it, I just, I don't trust myself. I'm too volatile. It would be bad news. What are those, Mike? We're looking at, that is the Desert Eagle. My friend has a Desert Eagle.
When a girl shoots a Desert Eagle, and gone wrong.
Those are bigger than fucking, Magnums. Those are bigger than 44. Those are,
oh my god,
that's a big fucking gun. But she had glasses on.
Yeah,
she just hit herself in the cartridge came out and hit her in the eye.
She's got the perfect attitude for someone who's
yeah
got
oh my god dad. All right, is there another phone call?
Yeah.
All right,
hopefully answered your question, Ratty Matty.
Yeah, hopefully. I forgot Ratty Matty, sorry about that.
Ratty Matty, the 10-month daddy.
Oh shit, is it me this time?
It is you this time. What is your name, my friend?
My name is Woodrow.
That is an old school name.
Woodrow.
How old are you, 111? That's a very fucking old name.
What are your opinions on the blacks and DEI? Oh, okay.
I want to say you both are fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
And I can't believe that one dude didn't know who Aziz Ansari was.
You nice. Set us up and we both fell for it.
You've been waiting. It's like, he's been writing that shit down, like Aziz Ansari, Kumail Nanjiani, awesome. Mindy Kaling. Oh, I'll go with Aziz.
By the way, Kumail, who I know from The Cellar, we know each other as comics, and then you watch something someone does.
Uh-huh.
Like, I had never seen Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
I know TJ well. I watched it. I'm like, holy fuck, were these guys great?
Yeah, I mean, what a show. It's fantastic.
But 10 years too late.
Yeah, yeah.
10 years too late. It was over. It's been over for years.
Oh, you just watched it?
6 months ago.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I had seen Kumail at The Cellar, and I'm like, I'm going to watch that. And man, that was a great fucking show. But sometimes you know these guys and you forget how good they are at certain things until you watch them do it.
Like, was Kumail a big Cellar guy? I mean, I didn't come up.
Seen him there. I don't know if he went through there all the time, but he was there a few times. He's very jacked now.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw him there a couple of nights recently, and then it'll be 2 years you won't see him. But that's where I knew him from, was there.
Oh, okay.
And TJ, I don't think works to sell. Well, he does now, but anyway, it was a great show, and I'd never Never watched him work before.
Sorry, Woody. What's the?
Yeah, you're sorry. I'm going down 2014 HBO shows. Yeah. I met the guy from 6 feet under on a bus. Fucking idiot.
Go ahead, man.
Yes, sir.
I really just had a question. I was just wondering, for someone who wanted to just dip their toes in and just try stand-up, not to try and make a career out of it just because they think it'd be fucking fun.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get yourself to do that? You know, like, you just try and do a minute or somewhere or 5 minutes. Like, how do you make that step?
Where do you live, Woody?
I live in a little bullshit town about 50 minutes south of Chicago.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of good clubs in Chicago, yeah. In the Chicago area. Don't diss Milwaukee like that, but... but... just write 2 minutes and really write it, and then assume it's going to be 30 seconds, and then get on stage and expect nothing but you saying the things.
Yes, that's exactly it. Find yourself an open mic online. It's probably different now than it was. I mean, again, I started in 1990, so like there was, you know, there's like the websites and all this shit with open mics now.
Yeah.
Write yourself, whether it's 2 5 minutes, go sign up somewhere, give yourself at least 10 times. Because that doesn't put as much pressure on each time. You yeah. should say, you know what? No matter what happens, kill, die, indifferent, I'm going to do this 8 more times. I'm going to do this 10 more times. And make yourself do it and then film every set and watch it back. Mm-hmm. And then get some kind of order or some semblance of what you want to do. But just recognize that you're doing it for the experience of doing it. So don't just do it once and run away.
One time is not indicative of what it
right.
is. Because if I only did comedy one time, I would think... That first time I fucking crushed. I didn't crush. I did well enough to be like, I'm a fucking amazing comedian. And then every time after that, for the next like 40 times, I fucking ate a dick.
Yeah.
But that, because that first time was a bringer. I was at Stress Factory. I brought 20 of my cousins.
That was your first time at Stress Factory?
Yeah, August 19th, 2009. And brought my cousins, and I did fine. Like, I was like, man, I'm good at this shit. I did my best Chris Rock impression. Like, it was like... If you saw me, you would think, oh, this guy's been influenced by Chris. But then every time after, I went to this site called BadSlava.com, which is still exists.
What does that mean, Bad Slava?
It was the guy that started it. His name's Slava.
Holy, it's the most basic.
From what I remember.
He was bad.
From what I remember, his name is Slava. He's like just a computer, like a website designer,
yeah.
And he just like liked open mics and wanted to aggregate them. So this is the site he built, and it still exists, and it's cleaned up, and it's still accurate from what I can gather. But I'm sure there's one for Chicago too. Go to badslava.com/Chicago. Find the mics that are in your area. Diversify your mics, because some of them are only comics and they're brutal, and some of them are the music and poetry and comedy mics,
yes.
And those are a lot more fun because it's like other people who aren't just narcissistic about their own comedy.
Yes.
And I like that. Do it 10 times.
Yeah.
That one time is not the experience. The experience of doing stand-up is like doing it, iterating on it a bunch of times, hating yourself, being like, no, fuck the crowd. The crowd is dumb. I'm not dumb. And then doing it again and proving to yourself that maybe you know a little bit about jokes versus the crowd.
I once heard somebody say, never blame the audience, even though it's always their fault.
Yeah. There it is.
But you write it. Yeah, this way, you can go over it and go, that didn't work. Why didn't that work? And then retry. You can only retry things if you do it a few times. But good luck, man.
Yeah.
And enjoy the experience. Fuck the results. Just have fun trying it, okay?
Yeah, I like how you came on with no nickname, and I had to give you one. You're right. Everyone good else has had a nickname.
What was his name? I forgot him already.
Woodrow.
Oh, we called him Woody. I like that.
Yeah.
Very casual.
Yeah.
Kind of, I felt like we had like a little thing with Woody
going.
Yeah,
Woody's a nice guy.
How could he not like us?
32-year-old Woodrow.
Yeah, that's a weird.
Yeah.
I like how literal he was. I said, are you 111? He's like, I'm 32. All right, perfect. That's great. Thank you, sir. Your autism is shining.
Yes.
All right, who's on the phone?
Hey, this is Arson. I'm on. My turn. Arson is my real name. That's not a bullshit nickname. That's my real name.
Arson, as in you started the fire?
Is it Arson? A-R-S-O-N?
Yeah, yeah. I got a whole bit about my name, which I'm not going to do now.
Please
but,
don't. Thank
huge
you.
Huge fan of both of you guys.
Oh, thanks, Arson.
Man.
Huge fan of both of you guys. Nimesh, congratulations. You got a daughter. I have 2 daughters myself.
Thank
and
you very much.
It's the best feeling in the world when you hold that thing. Your whole life changes.
Yes, sir.
So speaking on that topic, I've been a huge fan of comedy pretty much my whole life. I'm from New York. I live in Queens. I've been to the Cellar since the early 2000s, 2004, when I was old enough to get in there.
Oh, wow. Back in the day.
Seen back in the day. So I've seen Patrice a bunch of times live. He's one of my favorites. Louis.
More backstory.
I was free.
Yeah. When you're writing your bits, give a lot of premise.
I had to just.
So what? How would you get there? What subway would you? Would you take the blue line?
I feel like. I'm sorry. What?
No, I was just.
Remember when Justin was at the door?
I was saying word economy. We wanted you to get to what you wanted to say.
All right. So I feel like my backstory is important, but regardless. Okay. Nah. So I'm at the point. I'm at the point where I feel like I missed my shot because I didn't start comedy as early as I wanted to because life happens.
Sure. How old are you?
You get married. You have kids. I just turned 40.
Okay.
So I just turned 40, and some 40-year-olds go through a midlife crisis. They get themselves a mistress or a Ferrari.
Sure.
None of those worked for me, so I went and tried to fill that void and did comedy. But I'm at the point where I'm 2 years in. Cool. I did the open mics. Now I'm just pretty much doing bringer shows, and I just don't know how to break into the next step. I understand the gatekeepers of comedy. I don't even... Like, my dream is not to be, like, a sort of arena like the Russell Peters or, right. you know, Louis C.K. or even you guys. My dream is to basically be a working comic at the Cellar.
I know what you mean. You want to do more. You know what might be helpful? See, again, the game has changed for me because I drove and I didn't drink. So headliners would ask me to get... I would get hired a lot because I would do okay, but I would also drive them. Uh-huh. So that other comedians helped me a lot. What would you suggest to Nimesh? How did you come up and start getting success?
Well, I mean, I was in the right place in the right time a lot of times. And, you know, the stars aligned for me a lot of times. But I had two things that I think really helped me. One was a day job.
Yep.
Because I never was doing comedy for the money.
Right.
It didn't even cross my mind that I knew it could be a career and people have made livings doing it, but I thought I could have my world. I could have my feet in both worlds. I thought I could be like a day job guy. Like, I was working in finance, like making like not a lot of money, but enough.
What were you doing?
I was an assistant at an investment bank, a hedge fund, at a private office, and then I kind of moved my way up to be like an analyst and stuff. So, but I was making less than six figures, you know, right. for a very long time until like right before I got my writing job with Rock, but. Because I had that day job, I never worried about how comedy was going to impact my day to day, like my bread, or like if I was going to eat because of comedy.
Right.
So that gave me the freedom to write what I really want to talk about.
Yes.
And I was always just and like I would see my peers have a lot of success. You know, my peers being like Che, Jared, Michelle Wolf, like Kevin Barnett, RIP, like the Lucas Brothers, like all these people who came up and were doing amazing things. And I would see them be like, man, that means that if I work hard enough, that might happen for me. And the second thing I had was this sort of arrogance of ignorance. Like, I had no idea what I was up against. So I was just, like, writing what I thought was good comedy and doing a lot of things that I thought were true to me. And because I was always doing that, I was always just, like, my number one goal is to get on as many stages as I could at all times. Not bigger stages, not big stages necessarily, but, like, stages where people would see me. So I built my own show, Matchless, at Matchless with Che and Mike Denny. I think you did it once or twice.
It's very familiar sounding.
Bar Matchless in Greenpoint. You might have done it towards the tail end because I think we met at the Cellar, so I might have asked you to do it towards the tail end of the show, but I created my own stage time.
Right.
And that really helped me just get better as a comic. 2 years in, like, you think you're ready to do all this shit, and maybe you were, Jim. I don't think I was. I thought I was ready to do a lot of stuff, but...
I stunk.
Yeah, I look back at me 2 years in, I was a piece of shit. But I had a little bit of chops, a little bit of nuggets of good stuff, but I tried to just hone the jokes and get really good at writing good comedy that I was happy with. And because I had a day job, I wasn't impatient. You know, I only became impatient when I saw my peers doing a lot of cool
shit.
And I was like, fuck, I should be doing that. But in hindsight, if I just stayed true to myself, like, that is what the advice I would give to you. You sound like you got a lot going on in a very positive way. Like, if you can just get good good things will happen, especially if you're in New York. Like,
look at the great advice. Like, this is the difference between a Meshner. He gives you this really quality answer of, I wrote this stuff, I was true to myself, I had a day job, and I basically gave you the script for Driving Miss Daisy. Well, you know,
give a bunch of hand jobs to headliners.
A guy who should have been a middle was actually headlining a D room, and like Jessica Tandy, he'd sit in the back and bark out directions. Thank you very much for the call, sir. That's actually great advice. If you have a day job, you do have the freedom of writing the material you want because you're making your money.
Yeah.
We have a couple more people to get to. What's your name? You're on the phone.
Oh, wow. So my wife wants to know how to get through the next 4 years, and I want to know how to make a nice salmon fillet.
Okay, your wife wants to get Wait, hold on, sir. Your wife wants to get through the next 4 years of what? Marriage or politically?
Yeah. Marriage and the political scene. She's very passionate about that.
Well,
and
she's
got to deal with me, so.
What, are you guys politically opposite?
No. Well, I mean, no.
Is it your lack of communication that bothers her?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I feel like I'm flipping through a book and landing on different pages and trying to figure out what's going on. Do you have a question, sir, or a comment? God.
His question is, how do I make a nice salmon fillet?
How do I make a nice salmon fillet? I wouldn't know.
Tell your wife to get there the next 4 years, learn how to make a salmon fillet, and then you don't have to do it yourself, buddy.
Exactly. That's how you tell your wife. You want the political climate to change? Get in that kitchen, bitch. Make me a piece of fish.
Just kidding.
All right, sir. This was... it just fell apart at the end. I don't know what you're talking about, but whatever it is, I think
to respectfully answer the guy's question, like, I think women are a lot more panicked than men because,
sure,
I think rightfully so, a lot more women are panicked about what the administration means for them, especially with like Project 2025 and J.D. Vance being like secretly a Project 2025 insider. I think the best way to get through the next 4 years is like, have a go bag ready, pack all the tampons, and, you know, just be ready for them to be pulled off the shelves and get put behind that CVS plastic glass that you need to call an attendant for. Like, I think that, I like your philosophy of not panicking.
No, here's what I say. Keep a coat hanger. That's what I say. Keep a coat hanger with fucking handlebars on it. You'll be fine.
Jesus Christ.
And our final caller is we have a final caller on. Hello.
Thank you. I love you. I'm a big fan of both of you guys, man.
Thank you.
I don't want to repeat the thing here, but I heard you guys giving advice. That was good advice, Nimesh. Well, what's your advice, Jim?
On what?
For comedy. I've been doing comedy a long time, dude. 2 years.
Oh, is he calling back? This guy's like, hey, I got into meshes on one call. I'm going to call back and get Jim's.
I'm going to change my name from Arson to Mike.
Let's see here. My advice is the same as it always is. Just get up as many times as you can. Tape all your sets. Always write material. And don't be afraid to change a joke if it's bombing. There you go.
I mean, you know what? That you said tape all your sets. When I started, I would record all the sets. It's very important to then listen to those sets.
Yes, it is.
And build the tolerance to listen to your own voice.
It's hard.
Because for as much as we like to talk and hear ourselves talk, that's half the reason we get on stage. I hate hearing my own voice. Like, it's such a annoying thing to me. But
you have a good voice, though.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, I was like, why did I say that? It's less so hearing it than watching me.
Yeah.
Like, watching a special and editing is fucking mind-blowing in the worst way possible. But with listening to a set, the very few times that I could count a handful of times in the last 15 years that I've recorded a set and listened to it, the dozen times that I've done it, I've always improved upon a joke or thought of another angle. Like, oh, fuck, that's why I should. And then it's always worked. And that's something Hannibal would do. Hannibal would like listen to sets constantly. And I remember one of the first times I met Hannibal, or like after we had introduced each other at the NIT, we were on the same show, and he had a yellow notepad and he was listening to notes, and he's like, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, just going over my set and like listening. Aziz would do the same thing. Like, the best comics of the generations, like before and now,
yep,
like those guys listen to their shit all the time. Do you listen to your stuff all the time?
You know, I'm very lazy with it. But what I've the reason I tape almost every set is because I'm very free when I'm taping because I know I have it. I'll grab it if it's something good.
Fair, yeah.
But I do go back and watch some of the cell. Like I'll get in these weird moods where I have all my hours saved. And I'll just go back and start watching the ones from the Fat Black or watching my cellar sets.
Uh-huh.
And it's really helpful. I'm just, you know, I hate doing it because I hate looking at me, as do most people.
Yeah.
That's what I share in common with most people. We all find me a physically unpleasant thing to have to tolerate.
You look good, Jim. You look good.
Thank you very much. I mean, yeah, for a fat little turtle, I need to lose 25 pounds. Even my wife, I told you, she's like, Ozempic. I'm like, oh.
My cousin did Ozempic before his wedding, and he lost a lot of weight, and the instant he got off it,
fattened up again. Yeah, that's the problem. I hope you told him that, too. So I see you're off the Ozempic.
Yeah. Oh, I see you eating again. No, I think it's important if you're going to be on those drugs that you change your lifestyle.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's just like that. Those drugs should buy you enough time to be like, establish your routine, change your caloric intake, and that's really all weight loss is.
Yeah, that's do a little exercise, eat less, yeah. You'll be fine.
Yeah,
like those pretzels over there, I rifled through a lot of that bag.
They're calling my name.
They're fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
and you're a really good comic. I'm happy
thank
for you.
You. Thank
and
you very much.
We'll put that in the description of the YouTube, so they don't have to wait for the whole thing to hear that you're on. I'm sure people will know you have a lot more fans than I do, but I'm happy that you came on.
Thanks
and,
for having me, man.
Congrats, Nimesh. Appreciate
thank you very much.
We always have I forgot catchphrase. We always close. We try. I don't have a catchphrase. I'm not good at it. So we try to get somebody, my guest, to come up with something. It doesn't have to be funny. It can just be a catchphrase. Typically, they're very bad.
Uh-huh. Catchphrase for what?
For this program. Not necessarily a description of it, because garbage is not a catchphrase.
The catchphrase is, we tried to give you advice.
We tried.
We tried. Don't listen to us. That's a catchphrase.
Don't listen to us.
Don't listen to us.
I'm going to tag it. Don't listen to us, you fucking idiot.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over. It's time to go. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out.
We were rocking.
Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.